Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's turn over. Turn over to James chapter 3. And we're going to look at the first few verses. But one of the things that when we talk about words, the first thought that came to me, and I have notes. I may look at them, but I may not. But one of the things that came to my thinking as I was meditating on these notes was that we are made in the image and likeness of God. That's what Genesis 1:26 and 27 says. He made us in his image and likeness. And we know that John chapter 4, it says, God is a spirit. And then it continued and said, those that worship him must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. But God is a spirit. Well, what does that make me? I'm a spirit being. I live in this body. I have a soul, but I am a spirit. And if I'm made in his image and likeness, then I need to look at that and see, okay, how did God operate? How did Jesus operate? I'm made in their image and likeness. Well, that's how I'm going to operate. That's just a simple, you know, just a simple deduction or conclusion, right? Wouldn't you say? Well, what did God do when he created things? He did what? He spoke things into existence, didn't he? Now, you know, this is the thing that makes people upset. You know, they want to look at it and say, well, you know, we evolved. No, we didn't. We didn't evolve from nothing. I was created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. Ye are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. I didn't evolve from no monkey or amoeba or nothing. I'm made in the image and likeness of God. Hallelujah. And we are the only thing, not thing, but the thing that's been created that operates like God. We speak. Hallelujah. We have a soul and we live in a body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So words do count. Did it mean something where God was concerned? Hallelujah. When he spoke, something happened. Things came into being. Hallelujah. And so when we speak, things happen. You may not think so. But things do happen. If you say it long enough, it will happen. It will come to pass. So our words, if God is a spirit, and I'm made in his image and likeness, then I am a spirit. And he also said, my words are what? Spirit, and they are life. So that means my words are spirit. If he's a spirit, and the words that he spoke were spirit and life, then my words are spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, they can be death. Yes. See, that's the difference. Yes. We live in this body that's corruptible. And so out of it, yes, my spirit is new and it's been changed. But if my thinking hasn't been transformed, I can get death thoughts down in here and release them. Hallelujah. But if I get this mind transformed, where it can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, I'm going to think like him. I'm going to talk like him, and I'm going to produce like him. Good things. Hallelujah. But what happens is if the God of this world and our flesh get hooked up, then we're going to start thinking like the one that we've been delivered from. And then we can, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so, if we think not God thoughts, then what can happen is we can start producing death-filled words. But God is not death. He's life. He is life. And it's impossible for him to produce death-filled words. They are life. Every word that God speaks is full of eternal life and power. Hallelujah. And ours should be. Because we're what? Created in his image and likeness. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go over to James chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. This talks about the tongue. It says, my brethren, be not many masters. I'm reading from the King James. I'm going to read from a few other. But this is talking about being a teacher, a master. In some translations, it says the same thing. Don't presume to be a teacher. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. That just means you're going to be judged more strictly. That's what that means. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That just means you're grown up, you're complete, or you're fully developed, or you're further developed. It says here, and let me go back and read it again because I stopped. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in what? Word. The same is a perfect man, and what? Able also to do what? Bridle the whole body. Wow. Well, let's continue. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And so here you can see, I'm going to continue, but here you can see the Lord inspired the writer here to use two examples. He's talking about what? A small tiny bit in a horse's mouth is able to turn the whole body of the horse in what? Another direction. And it talks about this huge, massive ship and a little rudder is able to turn that ship in another direction, in good weather and bad weather, right? So when things are nice and smooth and they're not so smooth, the rudder is able to turn it in a different direction than it's going. So then it goes on and it says, the tongue in your mouth is able, like that bit or that rudder, is able to change the direction. And this is what it's saying here, it defileth the whole body. You know what's interesting, you know, we in English, you know, we look at that and we say defile. You know, sometimes we think, you know, that sullies something or dirties it up or it makes it a mess, right? Well, when you look that word up, it means to debase. Well, that's an interesting term to use. We're not as familiar with that sometimes. We may think we know what defile means, but defile actually means to debase. and to debase. Now, defile means to corrupt. I'm reading just from the dictionary. To corrupt the purity or perfection of. Well, wait a minute now. I'm a new creature in Christ. I've been made in His image. How could I be corrupted? Now, this body is corrupted or corruptible, not my spirit. And so my words should not be corruptible. My words should be spirit and life. But what it's saying is your tongue can defile or corrupt your goings. Right? So what this is saying is in this word debase, just in the dictionary, it says to lower in status. So when you are debased, it says you are lowered in status, quality, character, or esteem. You're lowered. Well, wait a minute. That means that your words can do that. What does that mean? Let's put that in something practical. When God says your body's healed, and you say something other than that, you've just defiled or debased or lowered what God has said. That's my point. I can't go there. I can't go in front of that speaker. Makes kind of funny noises. But when God says, in Christ, your need is met, and you say something other than that, you've debased yourself. You've lowered in quality, and you've lowered, that's what it says, you've lowered in status. What does that mean? You've just said something opposite of what God has said. That's something to think about, isn't it? When we get ready to say something, what are we going to say? And I know we've all missed it here. We all have. I'm just saying we need to look at what the Word says, and that when we get ready to say something, do I want to debase or defile or corrupt what God has said? I'm not corrupting. His Word is forever settled. But in my life, I can have an impact. Isn't that true? So to bridle, it means that when this says here, the bit or the bridle in the horse's mouth is like our words, not our words, our tongue. And so what does it say? That bridle is able to guide, to hold in check, or restrain. So my words can have an impact on the direction of my life and the things that I accomplish. That's why I refuse, no matter what it looks like. I may not understand it. One thing I've learned is that God over in Isaiah said, as the rain cometh down and returneth not thither, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It not return unto be void, but what he said it shall accomplish what it is set out to do. But it also says it shall water the earth and so forth. So what am I saying? Your words that you speak will accomplish what you're saying. They must. Because when you believe it, your words are spirit. And they will find a way of making something come to pass. whatever it is you're saying. And this is the thing that we have to focus on sometimes. I guess for me, I'll share a little bit about me. When I was growing up, I focused on words. I don't know why. But even when I got saved, after I got saved, I think one of the very first articles was going to an Assembly of God church. Some of you remember Pastor John Lipscomb. And he used to copy articles out of the Word of Faith magazine. He had a little card table at the back of the church, and he would just disseminate copies of articles. And when I saw that, it piqued my interest, and I began to read what Brother Hagin wrote about words. And that was very impactful for me. Still learning. We're ever learning. And one of the things I've come to realize is that, and some of you may realize this, some of you may not, but I have realized that things that I have said, good or bad, have come to pass. And you look up and things you've been saying all your life, and it come and bite you, as they say, in the behind, and you'll say, what the heck? And you said, I remember one time I was saying something, I'm not going to say what it was, but I said something for a long time, and it wasn't a good thing. And the Lord one time, when this thing broke, he said, you've been saying that for the last 4, 5, 6 years. The more we become perfected in our faith, the more we become, perfected is the right word. The more we become perfected in our faith, in life words or death words, things will come to pass quicker in your life. So if you begin to release death-filled words and you keep saying it and your faith becomes perfected, that's why, and I'm just thinking about that's what I just said, but some of you have heard the prophecy that Brother Copeland said, and he spoke those words to Pastor Sarah in 2003. He said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your life. Well, when there's an increase in anointing, that means there's an increase in every area. It's going to be an increase in your faith. And he said, be very careful what you say, even in jesting, because your words have more power when there's more anointing. I'll go this way. It doesn't bother me. I just know that's as far as I can go. But that's the point I'm making, that the more we become more developed in our faith, you need to be very, very conscious of the words that you speak. It didn't change the fact that you're a spirit. And it didn't change the fact that your words are spirit and life. But the more you become perfected and you increase in the anointing of God upon your life, your words will have more impact. Good or bad. See? You never hear God call you things that we call people sometimes, because what he says comes to pass. And so we have to be very, very conscious of that, of things that we think and say. Amen. Right? So words do matter. Yes. And the more that you grow in faith, the more impact that you can have. But we also, what does the scripture say? I believe it's over in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. It says, let your yea be what?
Yea.
Yea, and your nay, nay. That means limit what we say. Yea.
Amen.
Right? So where was I? Oh yeah, I was over in James. Verse 6 says, and the tongue, continuing, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. So now it talks about, so is the tongue among your members, that it what? Defileth. That means it debases the whole body. What we say can affect the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So what we think on and meditate on is what we're going to believe. And what we believe are the things that we're going to say. So we have to be very selective and cautious about the things we release in our mouth. Because it'll affect everything that you do. Hallelujah. Let me read some scripture here. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. God's Word translation says, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. The Good News translation says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The New Living Translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. That sounds like defileth the whole body. It affects everything you do. So we have to guard our heart. What does that mean? Think about what's going in and what's coming out, right? Guard your heart means you guard what's going in and you guard what's coming out. Because when you do, if you don't, what does this say? It affects everything you do. That's another way of looking at James, right? This is Proverbs. So it affects everything. Everything we do. The issues, when it talks about the issues of life, in the King James, that word in the Greek, actually it's in the Hebrew, it says the extremity of the ends. So this is why, you know, and when people in society, see, this is why when we talk about in society, people, I remember going when I was going to college, I remember they made us play a game. You know, they have these, I don't want to call them silly, but they were just this particular psychiatrist. I was going to engineering school. I don't know why I had to take this course, but I took it, right? So it was a prerequisite, right? But in this course, this particular instructor said we can only play this game once, and they broke the class up into two groups. The one group that you were a part of could make all the rules, and the other group couldn't. Oh boy. You could see the flesh come out in that setting. And that's no different in society. There's one group of people that can make rules, and there's another group that can't. But I'm so glad I'm not limited by that.
Yes,
see? But if you think you are, as a man thinketh, well, so is he. And so in society, regardless of what culture, race, or whatever. There are going to be some folks that treat other people in a not so nice way, or it could be a repressive way. But I'm not limited by that. And this is why it says, keep your heart with all diligence. Trap what's coming in. And don't talk negative. Don't talk death words. Amen. Don't talk words that get in agreement with what the world, the God of this world, is doing to influence people. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but my bank accounts are full. Amen. My body is healthy. My mind is sound. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And these are the words we ought to say. No matter what we're walking through, no matter what we, because what? Our tongue, like a rudder, can change the whole direction of my body, my bank account, my family, my children. Everything can be affected by what we say. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We need to think about that. Hallelujah. I'm learning more and more that when faced with things in life, even in the ministry here, with things that don't, in other words, they're obstacles. They don't look like they can change. I'm not going to say, I don't know what to do. I'm not going to talk death. I'm going to say, God's going to show us what to do. He's going to show us how to deal with this and what to do. The more we say, I don't know what to do, you release words, and your words will cause you to not know what to do. Your words are going to seek out ways to steer you. You know, sometimes, how are we led? It says, you're a spirit, which means you have a spirit. You are a spirit. But God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. There's a co-witness. The Holy Spirit witnesses to your spirit. There's a co-witness as to this leading that we have. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't listen to him clearly, you'll follow your spirit into things that you've confessed negative, 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 and your spirit will, you'll just say, you know, I just feel like I ought to go do this today. And it's trying, your spirit is going to try to lead you and bring to pass the negative words that you've been saying. Or you can say, everything I touch is blessed. My family's blessed. What do we sing today? My family's blessed. My church is blessed. My finances are blessed. Everything I set my hands to, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm not beneath, I'm above. And your spirit, because now I'm saying what the word says, God, by his spirit's going to witness to my spirit, go over here and do this. Make this phone call. Pick up this article.
Yes.
I'm learning this more and more, that just things that we've done in this ministry so far, just the few things that Pastor Greg and I have done, just saving money in the ministry, because we get exposed to something. God says, pick up and call this, do this, do this. And you're following his lead because you're confessing and saying, our bank accounts are full. Regardless of what we see and experience. We constantly confess our income is greater than our expenses. You know, I'm not moved, and we call in $80,000 a week, but what does the scripture say? It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, my faith is the evidence of things what? Seen?
Not seen.
Not seen. So you release words of faith for things you don't see. And that's what we need to do. Words of life are words full of faith. And so a lot of times we're when it says walk by faith, that means walk by things that we don't see yet. And I'm going to have to release words of life and faith for things I don't see, things I don't have. You know, we all say, well, you know, I'd love to have more than I know what to do with. We all have that opportunity right here in the scripture. Speak words of life. The Lord corrected me years ago because I was, in my area of giving, I was a dropper. You know what I mean by that? I just dropped my offering in, dropped it in. And I was not releasing words of faith over that and continue to. I'm talking about this many years ago. And then he spoke to me in a time of prayer and said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, that excited me. Because that means there's no limits with God. There's no limits with receiving. There's no limits. Let me ask a question. Can you get too much of God? Can you get too much of love? Can you get too much of healing? Can you get too much of prosperity? No. Can you get too much of the word? No. So as we grow, as we increase, we're going to increase in our revelation of the word, our mind's going to be renewed, and we're going to have to watch what we say. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18, a couple of more thoughts here. I don't know what I'm doing with time. I don't have one of them little help clocks here. How much time have I got? I got that. Now, I understand that. But that doesn't help if you don't know when you came up. Right? Thank you. As they say, I knew that. I just need to know how much time I got left. Do this. You know how the kids do here. Give me 5, 10, 15, 20. Give me fingers. anyways. So the kingdom of God, I want to just, this is another point here. The kingdom of God in Luke 17:21. I'm right. Well, at least there's some that were paying attention. I told you, I'm just making a point. I'm just reading something. You can stay there, Proverbs 18. But we know this, that in the kingdom of God, the principles of sowing and reaping exist and work where? In the kingdom of God. And Luke 17, this is my point, Luke 17, verse 21, it says, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's within us. So our heart is the soil. The kingdom of God, you could call it, is like the production center. It's the source of this soil where we plant our seeds. Now, let's go to Proverbs 18. It says, a man's belly As King James, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And verse 20, did I tell you what it was? Verse 18, I'm sorry, Proverbs 18 and verse 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the what? The increase of what? Or you could say the increase of his tongue, right? He shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's harvest. Amen. So you're going to have a harvest from the things that you speak. It's going to happen. You will have a harvest. So let me read a couple of other translations here. The NIV, the New International Version, it says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. And this is what I like. It says, with the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. So we're going to have a harvest from our lips, and it's either going to be one or the other. It's either going to be death or life. Death or life. That's the harvest that you will get from your lips. The Good News Translation, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. This is the Good News Translation. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Verse 21, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. The Complete Jewish Bible, it says, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with what his lips produce, he will be filled. What does it say? With what your lips produce. That's talking about a harvest. There's seed time and harvest. You plant a seed with your words, you keep watering it, you keep watering it, you keep watering it, you keep saying the same thing. My bank is empty, I'm broke, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. And you produce a harvest. See? You know, I just had a thought. You know, a lot of times, and I'm certainly not a medical person, but one thing that I started doing years ago is I started just, it wasn't because I was in any kind of a medical condition. I've always been healthy, thank God. But I just started confessing over my body. I started gravitating towards something that said, there was a confession that Charles Capps made over his body. And I started saying that. This is years ago. I got this placard he sold. This is back in the early 80s. And I just started saying that over my body. And that's why the Lord said, if you'll work the word.
Right.
See? But what am I saying? Mm-hmm. When you begin to speak over your body, this is not about, God can heal us supernaturally, and he does. But he also will lead us by his Spirit,
yes,
to make corrections in life that can bring about healing in our body just the way we conduct ourselves. And it's based on the words that come out of my mouth. Instead of saying, God, show me what to eat, it's, I have a taste for this. Well, your body is fickle. It'd have a taste for alcohol. You better know what to control and not to control. And you may think, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to live in health, and I'm going to let my words, because this says here, the tongue will defile the whole body. So that means to me, you can think what you want, and you will reap as a man thinketh, so is he. I'm just sharing with you, it would be wise to change our words and watch our words, because one of the things that I found was that the more I began to speak words in these areas, God would correct. He'd say, don't eat that anymore. Right. Just a thought would come up. Don't eat that anymore. Change that. Right. And that's what I'm talking about. When you begin to speak over your body and you begin to ask, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding in all thy ways. That means my spending. That means my coming in, my going out. That means everything. My eating habits, my exercise, everything. Everything I do. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct my path. He will do it. And so as we do, I'm telling you, we will walk in divine health. We will walk in divine prosperity. And we will walk in a level of prosperity and health that we haven't experienced before. But we've got to watch the words that come out of our mouth. Our words do matter. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about getting over in the ditch. We're just talking about releasing words out of your mouth in faith. That's what we're talking about. And he'll direct us how to conduct. How he directs you is different than me. We're different. We're all different. But he knows each one of us. Hallelujah. I didn't get any hands up. Nobody has raised their hands. There it is. 10, 5. Good. See, should be 1 and then the little squiggly, you know, like this. This is it here, you know. They do this in children's church. Deacon Gerald does this. This is how the little kids go, you know. Okay. Anyways. The Message Bible, words kill and words give life. Hallelujah. So what is death fills words? Anybody have any idea what that is? I've got this. Negative words, right? And God, you know, let's also not get in the ditch with this. Let God show you what you need to change. You know, I remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, we were correcting everybody and don't say that and don't say this and don't say that. And I think that's there's some benefit to that. I'm not saying that there's no benefit. But I'm just saying let's be conscious of the things that we say. God wants to bring us up to another level of faith. And this is tied to that. This is tied to this. What you say. You may not think so, but what did the Lord say through Brother Copeland to Pastor Sarah? He said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your life. Be careful with what you say. So God is not going to take somebody who's talking negative, 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 death-filled words, and increase the anointing. Because you're going to be, I don't want to be near you. Right? So life-filled words, I'm delivered from. I no longer have this. My bank accounts are full. My body's healthy. See, let's not get stuck. Sometimes, when I say stuck, sometimes we think that God, when we say something, it's instantly going to happen. And now we're saying, well, it must not be working because it didn't happen right away. It is working. It is working. Stop thinking it's not working. Your words are working. Faith-filled words are working. And what am I trying to say? What I'm saying is keep saying what God has said. And he will show you, he will bring things into your life to bring to pass those words that you're saying. We may have to walk through some things. You know, whether it's physical health challenges or financial things that have come into our life, we may be reaping the harvest of things we've said. We could be. Or it could just be stuff that's been thrown at us. Could be. We could have opened the door, but we live in this earth, and there is a devil. And he could throw some things at us. But I don't have to get in agreement with it. And God, what did he say? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll show you. You don't report to him anymore. He's defeated. You're an overcomer. Always remember that. I'm an overcomer. That means I overcome. And the overcomer lives in me. Always think about this. God is an overcomer. And God lives in me, so I'm an overcomer. Healing is in God. God's in me, then healing's in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just, we're going to delve in a little more. I just wanted to touch on this morning. Just highlight this, that we need to look at the words that we say and remind ourselves that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and our words do matter. They matter much because we will reap a harvest. For things, words are like words are seeds. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, faith-filled words create realities. And so your faith-filled words create. And they will create something in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we'll touch on some other scriptures Wednesday and next Sunday. I think I'm here. No, not next Sunday. Reverend Marty's here. Well, whenever we get together next. How do you change a habit? Anybody remember? You just change. How do you change your direction or change a habit? You change direction, right? You just change direction. Stop going in that direction. If you're going in this direction and it's producing something, change the direction. Right? Isn't that what it says? The rudder changes the direction. So if I'm going in this direction and I'm reaping this kind of fruit, and I don't want that fruit, change the direction. Change what you're saying. It will change the direction. Right? I'll go from not having just making ends meet to having more than I know what to do with. I'll go from month to month, year after year, dealing with this symptom and this symptom and this symptom till I'm walking in divine health. I'm thinking of, I'll close with this thought. The family that used to be here the Warwick family. And Jessica was here. She used to wear a pump. And I don't know how it was, you know, attached to her, but she used to wear a pump, an insulin pump, that she had to have on all the time. And when they relocated out to Tulsa, to Broken Arrow, and she started going to Rhema Bible Training Center and her family, she started to go every single day, every day, every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Every day she went to prayer and healing school. Every day. And I remember about, we weren't at Winter Bible Seminar, but the year before, her dad said, Ken was here, and Ada. He said, she doesn't wear the pump anymore. And this is what he said. Her pancreas just started to work. Right.
That's right.
Because of changing the environment, changing the direction, changing what you say. So for years, she dealt with this symptom. She changed something, and the pancreas just started to work. Huh. And that's what happens when we change direction. We change the direction of the ship. We change what we say. I don't know about you, but I want better. Don't we all? So I can do more for God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are determined and we're steadfast and we will persevere so that we can do more, be more productive. And Father, we thank you that our words are spirit and life, and we're going to guard our hearts, guard what's coming in, and guard what's going out. And we thank you for it, Father. Show us where we need to make changes. Show us what we need to correct. And when we get impatient because we don't see something change, remind us, Holy Ghost. Show us. Let our yeas be yeas and our nays nays. In Jesus' name, amen.